Cleveland has been hit hard by the housing crisis. Cuyahoga County has the highest rate of foreclosures per capita in the country. But the misfortune of many has turned into a gold, or rather copper, mine for scrappers. We've talked here before about these hard luck entrepreneurs literally denuding cities, stripping away piping, ventilation, anything they can resell. And an increase in the price of metals has led to a booming business in Cleveland, some of it legal, but much of it illegal. Wilbert Cooper has gone deep into the scrapping culture in his article in Vice. It's called Scrap or Die. We'll speak with him in a moment. But first, Diane Merriweather. She's a legal scrapper and real estate agent in Cleveland. She drives up and down streets on trash day looking for valuable metals. And Diane, you say you have some sympathy for the illegal scrappers because many are homeless and drug addicted. But what kind of impact does their scrapping have on your community?
I've witnessed this firsthand when I was working on some rental property I own, and I noticed that some guys were taking out a furnace and a hot water tank, and I called the police, and of course, by the time they got there, they were gone.
Wait. You noticed someone taking out the furnace and the hot water tank. That had to be a huge endeavor. That must have been quite something to see.
It really was. You know, it's one of those streets where people work, so a lot of times they're not home. I have a friend now told me today that her sister owns a 3-family, and they've taken out copper even though people are still there.
People are putting up signs saying, no copper, stay away, we don't even have any left, you've taken it all.
That is correct. And a friend of mine was telling me they took her neighbor's car out of her driveway because it was down for a few months, and they took it out and they scrapped it because in some places you don't even need a title and they'll scrap these cars illegally. And that tends to be the thing now too, that they're just taking people's cars and they're scrapping them. The city needs to make it mandatory and have some liability on the scrap yards to say if anyone comes in here, they have to be a registered junk car or we will not let you scrap.
Well, we're going to talk more to Wilbur Cooper about some of the things you're talking about, this idea of having to have a license, or there were systems that were supposedly installed so that if somebody came with scrap, their picture would be taken and there'd be sort of a digital record of the scrap they brought. The hope was that people could then trace scrap, but apparently that hasn't worked that well. We know you're primarily a real estate agent, but how much do you think you can make a month by scrapping?
You know, it's your intensity. I met one lady. She's out like from 6 to like 8 at night. And she told me she makes like $4,000 a month. That's some good money. I don't know if when I was doing social work, if I was making $4,000 a month. Hmm. But, you know, we have all this money. I think Cleveland has $4.5 million to demolish all these homes. You have scrappers that they have contracts with the demo companies. And they're coming. They're letting them come and get the copper and the brass and the aluminum when they tear down the house.
So this is contracted and legal, the work that you are doing and some others you've pointed out are doing. But what do you think about these others who you seem to have some sympathy for, either having drug addictions or being out of work?
I'm not sympathetic when you really go in people's house because people work hard. But you meet some very interesting people. Everybody's not on drugs or criminals, but you find that everyday people are doing what it takes to take care of their family and to pay their bills. And I just want to give them their kudos, and the criminals, I hope they go to jail.
Diane Merriweather, a real estate investor and scrapper based in Cleveland, Ohio. Diane, thanks.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Let's bring in Wilbert Cooper, whose article, Scrap or Die, and by the way, there's a song of the same title based on a rap song, Trap or Die, appeared in Vice. Wilbert, you write that Cleveland has the highest number of reported metal thefts per capita in the country. Something like 10 to 20 manhole covers go missing in one night?
Yes, it's kind of incredible. They weigh like 300 pounds. To steal a manhole cover takes concerted effort. When 10, 20 go missing in a night, you're talking about a team of guys who are going out in a truck and picking those pieces up. And then they know that once they steal them all, they have somewhere to take them.
That's the question, though. I mean, it's one thing to arrive with a shopping cart filled with piping, copper piping that you might have pulled out of a bando, as they're called, an abandoned house. It's another thing to come in with a city manhole. Who buys it?
A lot of the scrapyard owners buy it. There's also drug dealers that will purchase scrap after hours at a lower rate, and then they have their own ways to break it down. And, you know, one of the things that I learned was that connection between drugs and the scrap metal theft. I mean, I was actually told by the main character of the Scrap or Die piece. He explicitly explained to me how some scrap yards will have a back room, like a secret room, where the stuff that they get that is illegal that should not be scrapped is stored.
You describe a city in which in some parts people joke about getting electrocuted when walking down a street because the ground wire has been pulled from all the telephone poles. Copper statues that are downtown that honor important figures have been replaced by composite ones painted to look like copper so they don't get stolen. You describe a vacant home as just everything gone, aluminum siding, every imaginable piece of metal, even the handrail. And yet you also introduce us to characters who, you know, they don't have a lot going on in their lives. What is the harm when somebody pushing one of those carts goes into a house and swarm over it, like locusts, as you say, or Huns? What's the harm?
The problem is, you know, if someone goes into a house and they scrap $200 worth of scrap, they could do $20,000 worth of damage. Say you go into a home and you rip out all the copper wiring, you bust the walls and rip out all the copper. Every wire in the house needs to be replaced because you can't trust any of the wiring anymore. And the same thing with the flooding, like they'll come in and steal the pipes and then the water will run continuously for days and days. It could potentially cause fires. There have been in the city of Cleveland different instances where abandoned homes went up in flames, and that was often connected with scrap.
We talked a little bit about why this was happening, copper fetching $4 a pound, but also there was a rise in demand for copper and other metals because of a building boom in China. And the irony is that because of this demand in China, a lot of this illegal scrap goes to China. But then someone told you that it actually comes back to the U.S. in form of some of the cheap material that we buy. So you know, they're sort of using stolen metals from here to make the cheap material they sell back.
About 30% of all scrap that is in the United States ends up somewhere overseas. And so, yeah, there's definitely that connection where we could be getting back scrap metal that was plundered from homes in the form of consumer electronics.
So what are cities doing? Well, more precisely, what's Cleveland doing? Because you talk about detection systems that police departments and vice squads were trying to take up, scrap theft alert systems. What's being done?
Mainly what you see cities do, and this is what Cleveland has kind of done, is this idea of taking an image of the scrap metal, linking it to an ID so that if scrap is reported stolen, they can find out where it was sold through this network and then be able to connect that to an individual person. The problem with a lot of these, you know, licenses and ID systems is it can cut down a little bit on the scrap theft. But when you're talking about people who are going and selling things after hours, probably one of the best ways to break down that kind of theft is to go after the scrap yard owners. But it's a challenge for prosecutors to prove that they knew when they accepted the scrap that it was, in fact, stolen.
So meanwhile, what is Cleveland to do? You write about the city having to prop up buildings because so much has been gutted in metals that the buildings are in jeopardy of falling. Why not just bring them down?
Because it's incredibly expensive to tear down and demolish buildings. What a lot of times happen, what I've seen, is that they might tear down buildings, but then you have just gaping holes in communities, you know, and that's not a solution either. So when they tear down these buildings, they need to match that destruction with investment.
Wilbert, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it.
Wilbert Cooper, editor at Vice Magazine. There's a link to his piece, Scrap.